While lawmakers considered the president's speech in Washington, D.C., we sought out views from Americans in other parts of the country. In Chicago, San Francisco, and Portland, Maine, NPR reporters asked for reaction to the president's address. We begin with NPR's David Shaper in Chicago.
President Bush's first visit outside of New York and Washington after the September 11th terrorist attacks 2 years ago was to Chicago. After a campaign-style rally on the tarmac at O'Hare Airport to boost the ailing airline industry, he came here to the Norwood Restaurant, a family-oriented neighborhood breakfast, lunch, and dinner place on the city's far northwest side. It's in the only Republican ward in Chicago, and support for the president here among some breakfast customers remains strong. 66-year-old retired industrial salesman Mike Lemke.
I think he's doing a good thing, and we need the United Nations doing it, giving us a few dollars and a little help. And I like the president a lot. I like what he's doing. He's very aggressive. And
59-year-old waitress Pamela Roska also trusts President Bush is handling Iraq the right way.
He's always been very honest, and it's the first president I've ever known to be that honest and to stand for the public and be that honest. And I think he's got a good case.
But 2 years after President Bush's patriotic cheeseburger lunch here, not all customers are as supportive. 53-year-old strategic planning consultant Randy Rawlinson, who opposed going to war, says he's glad to see the president finally seek greater U.N. involvement in Iraq. But he calls Bush's speech last night too little, too late.
Oh, I think we absolutely have to be there, given the fact that we invaded Iraq. You know, now we have to follow through and do the right thing. But I'm not a general supporter of the approach or the attitude or the arrogance that's being demonstrated.
49-year-old nurse Denise Bone also opposed going to war in Iraq and now calls it a mess.
I think it's a debacle. I think the entire war is a debacle. I don't know if we went into the right place in the first place.
Her friend, 45-year-old Christina Welty, also opposed going to war without more international support. And she worries how much longer the U.S. will remain in Iraq.
I'm very concerned that there is still unrest there, that there are almost daily attacks on American soldiers.
Whether they supported the war or not, all of the customers at the Norwood restaurant we spoke with say despite the financial cost, the effort to rebuild Iraq must continue. Though some wonder where the $87 billion will come from, and others wish it could be spent on domestic needs like education and health care. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
I'm Charlotte Renner in Portland, Maine. The weather here last night was unusually balmy for September in southern Maine. Maybe that's why a number of people at the Miss Portland Diner, a popular breakfast spot, say they spent the evening lingering around barbecue grills on candlelit patios and decks instead of watching TV. A few others admitted sheepishly that they chose to watch football instead of the President of the United States. Still, there were several who tuned in to find out what Mr. Bush had to say about Iraq. One of them was a 54-year-old furniture store owner who supports the president on Iraq, but didn't want to give his name.
I commend the president for beginning to level with the American public as to the amount of money that's really going to cost us to rebuild Iraq, which I think he hadn't done previously. I think people now know where we are. It's going to take a lot of money. A lot of money, a lot of troops.
But a man in an adjacent booth took a different view as he ate his eggs and bacon. David Stebbins is 49 years old and says he collects disability payments because he's unable to work. He says he tuned in to the White House address even though he is not a supporter of the war in Iraq or President Bush.
I heard basically what I expected to hear. There was one part, he wasn't even asking the American people for the money. He was telling them he was going to spend it. I think also if he could make that same commitment towards really helping the people of America in the same amount of money, helping people come off welfare and earning a living wage.
Overhearing Stebbins, an elderly diner with a weather-beaten face piped up on his way out the door. He, too, refused to give his name, and like many independent-minded folks in Maine, he didn't mince words.
We ain't in any position to be second-guessing that man. He got elected. Let him do his job. Leave him alone.
And with that, he swallowed the last drop of coffee, slapped $2 down on the counter, and walked out. The diner emptied out for a few hours, and the waitresses wrote the sandwich specials on the board. But the lunch crowd wasn't any more talkative than the breakfast bunch, at least not about last night's speech. Why, on this sunny day, one waitress asked, should we talk about terrorism or even politics? For NPR News, I'm Charlotte Renner in Portland, Maine.
I'm Richard Gonzalez in Oakland. Lakeshore Avenue is a common ground linking Oakland's more affluent hillside neighborhoods with some of the city's more modest areas. This is a heavily Democratic district, and because the president's address ran at 5:30 local time, very few people we spoke with had actually viewed the speech. But they had read this morning's headlines, and they knew that Mr. Bush is asking for $87 billion for military operations and reconstruction in Iraq. Helen Marsh is a management development consultant. She has opposed some of the president's policies in the past, and she has a nephew serving in the military in Iraq.
I would definitely like a plan for, you know, how are we going to involve other countries? How are we going to get the UN supporting this more actively? I just think his strategy has not been something that I have personally completely agreed with. I'm looking forward to reading more about it. I am very concerned about our leadership.
Down the street, Ed Gable, an international technology consultant, echoed the views of several people who want to see the United States give the United Nations a bigger stake in the future of Iraq.
I think one of the things the UN does best is provide security in terms of peacekeeping operations. I think that becomes essential if we're going to ask our allies, so to speak, to pay the ticket. We need to bring them in, I think, economically. We need to bring them in politically, and certainly in terms of giving them a say-so. They have more experience at it, actually.
But an increased role for the UN was far from the minds of several young men sitting in front of a coffee shop. David Milbank is an unemployed architect, but he is working in the coffee shop to make ends meet. He says he has been highly critical of the president's policies.
Yeah, I'd like to know. We went to war. We said we could do it without the UN. We went in every country told us not to do it. We go in by ourselves, and now we come to the UN begging for money. We haven't found Osama bin Laden. We haven't found the weapons of mass destruction. We haven't even found Saddam Hussein. So, you know, what's the point?
Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, Oakland.